I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. As we continue our international briefing, why did a Turkish anchor put on blackface to deliver a commentary during President Obama's recent visit? We'll try to find out in just a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about the treatment of journalists in Iran. In January, Iranian-American journalist Roxana Saberi was arrested, allegedly because her press credentials had expired. She's since been charged with espionage and was tried in secret this week. A verdict is expected soon. Saberi, who's a freelance journalist for NPR and the BBC, is not the first journalist to be harassed while working in Iran. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, Iran investigated or detained more than 30 journalists in 2008 alone. To better understand the difficulties of reporting there, we've invited two journalists who have been previously arrested by the Iranian government. Jerry Saib is the executive Washington editor for The Wall Street Journal. He is an American journalist who was arrested in Iran in 1987 while on a reporting trip. He was held in the same prison as Roxana Saberi is being held now. And Omid Memarian is an Iranian journalist. He was imprisoned for 56 days for reporting on his blog, also at Evan Prison. He now attends the Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. He was recently resentenced in absentia to another 2.5 years in prison. I welcome you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry, I wanted to start with you just because this is the earlier case. You were a Middle East correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, and I should mention that we are former colleagues.
Indeed.
On a reporting trip to Iran in 1987, you were accused of espionage. You were not formally charged. But what happened? Did you have any inkling about why this happened to you?
Didn't have an inkling then. Don't have much of an inkling now. But what happened to me was I was in Iran covering what was then the raging Iran-Iraq war, had been to the war front, came back to Tehran, was preparing to leave the country, and was grabbed in a hotel parking lot, literally, thrown in the back of a car, taken to Evan Prison, and was told that I was going to be charged with being a spy. Was interrogated for 4 days there, and then magically, somehow, my case was resolved and I was released and I left the country 2 days later.
What kinds of questions did they ask you?
The questions had really had nothing to do with what I had been doing while I was in Iran. It had more to do with who was I, who did I work for, where did I come from. The specific accusation that made to me in the interrogation room was that I was a spy for Israel. I always was sort of partial to the theory that I was taken to send some kind of a signal, either from Tehran out to the world or within Iran itself.
And I want to hear more about your theory about why Roxana was taken. You wrote a column about that for the Wall Street Journal earlier this week. I want to hear more about it, but I want to bring Omid into the conversation. You were arrested in 2004. Do you have any sense of why you were arrested and imprisoned?
There was a wide range of reasons for that. Most of all, it was about my writings in my blog and also my writings in the different newspapers that I worked. They told me in the prison that by my writings, I have drawn a black picture of the Islamic Republic. And 10 days before my arrest, one of the conservative newspapers in Tehran published an article, and the title was The House of Spies. And in that article, they mentioned my name and the name of like 50 other journalists.
And I want to hear more about the conditions under which you were held. But I did want to ask, is it illegal to criticize Iran? By definition, if you engage in the kind of reporting that we consider normal here, does that then put you at some legal jeopardy in Iran?
The fact is that there are topics that you cannot cover. You know that you cannot cover, and your editor knows that they cannot publish that piece. Things about the military, things about the supreme leader, about the Revolutionary Guard, about the Islamic foundations. But at the same time, there are topics that you don't know that it can be a problem for you to cover or not. So the red lines are not clear for journalists. I wrote something about prostitution in Dubai. And in a Women magazine, I criticized the government that what has happened after 3 decades, that now religious women go to Dubai for prostitution. And it made them mad. It has nothing to do with politics or the United States or Israel, but it was a source of anger for them. And they said that you are criticizing the whole establishment, the Islamic regime. You write your story, you publish your story, they call you, and they put you in jail.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with two journalists who have both been detained in Iran. And Omid, before we move on to Roxana's situation and what we know about it, I did want to ask about your circumstances. As I understand it, they were very horrific. You were held for 56 days in solitary confinement for much of that time. Can you tell me a little bit about the conditions?
It was hard. And the fact is that case to case it's different, but when you are there, you're powerless. And your interrogator can do anything with you. That's very terrifying. In my case, we had sleep deprivation. We had to go to bathroom half naked. We had the light on our head for a week. And the most horrifying part was the humiliation. And the way my interrogator spoke to me was in a way nobody in my life spoke to me before that. And that humiliation, it's so hard to take.
Did you have a sense that they wanted something from you, that they wanted you to admit to something? Was there ever the sense that if I do this, then they'll let me go?
It was. You know, at one point, I understood that the reason behind my arrest is not exactly what I have done. They knew that I've not done something crazy, or there was no actual evidence. In my case, there was no actual evidence of anything. At one point, I understood it's a political case. I told them, okay, I accept that I have done this. It was not just me, and that was a part of plan. So what should I do? And they said, so you say this, and in publicly you confess that what you have done is wrong, and you apologize from the people, and we let you go. But you shouldn't talk about your condition in prison. So when I heard about Roxana, I felt so bad, because there is no prisoner, I think, on the planet that when faced with charges like that, accepts the charges immediately.
Do you have the sense, and I wanted to ask each of you this, that Iranian Americans are a particular target? I think many people will remember Hale Isfandiari, who's a scholar who was arrested 2 years ago and held for quite some time. And this woman is 67 years old. Many people were very concerned about her health. But Jerry, you feel that often these are strategic arrests designed to send some sort of a message. What message do you think that they're sending?
It's hard to know, because by definition, you're staring into a black box. But I think also by definition, Iranian Americans are probably more vulnerable because they do hold Iranian citizenship. They're subject to the laws of Iran in a way that a foreigner isn't. Yet the fact that they are American citizens as well allows, if that's the intention, for a signal to be sent to the U.S. at the same time. So I think that they are in a more vulnerable position than a foreigner, and they also are maybe potentially more useful as a way to send signals. It's hard to know in this case what the motivation was, as it was hard to know in my case what the motivation was.
And Omid, how about you? Do you have a sense that Iranian Americans are being specifically targeted?
What I think about Roxana, you know, we have 2 months to the Iranian elections. They know that for the elections, many Iranian Americans, American Iranians, they will go to Iran for reporting. They feel that these journalists can write more about Iran than foreign journalists. First, because they speak Farsi. Second, they have passport, Iranian passport. They can go anywhere. They can ask any question. There is no limitation for them. And they can come up with materials that probably they don't like it. So this is a signal to many Iranian Americans who want to go to Iran.
What is this whole point of the espionage? Jerry, do you think that the Iranians don't make a meaningful distinction? By definition, they think reporting is anti-authoritarian, is a challenge to their authority?
Well, I think that the context for that is that there is a belief, and you will hear people in Iran tell you this quite openly, that the country has been the place of intelligence intrigue. The CIA did play a role in the country for years and years. The revolution is not accepted by much of the world, and they have reason to be suspicious. And I accept that. I think that's true. The silver lining in that cloud, from my point of view, is that my case at least showed that when an arrest was made, a case was made that the arrest was improper, somebody listened, cooler heads prevailed, I was released. And that's, I think, what we all ought to seek in this case. And I think that part of that process is making the simple case from the outside that the person who's being held is, in fact, a legitimate journalist, and that the arrest is in error.
And Omid, you mentioned that when you You wrote about your case and also Roxana's case for the Huffington Post. And do I have it right that a government official actually contacted you after you published your piece?
Yes. And the UN diplomat contacted me and we exchanged a few emails. And he was kind of upset that I have, without no information, I have written something about this case. And I said that I look at the patterns and the way Roxana is treated in prison simply because she had no access to a lawyer and the trial was not public. So I totally agree with Jerry. I think it's the right to find spies. It's the right to face their national security threats, but it's not the right to arrest journalists with no reason. So I told this diplomat that spying is very similar to what fishermen do or pilots do or scientists do, but it doesn't mean that you should arrest fishermen or pilots or scientists.
And what did he say?
He said to some extent that I'm right. And it was interesting that at the end he said, I pray for the release of Roxana. And I was so impressed that, you know, he said that.
Jerry, finally, we only have about a minute or so left. Does the president or does the U.S. administration have any leverage here, particularly in regard to Roxana's case?
I think they do. I think the context of this event is that we were at a point where there seems to be a possibility, if not a probability, of real dialogue between the Obama administration and the government of Iran. Whether that goes anywhere, nobody knows. But clearly, some people in the Iranian government want that to happen. They do not want, I assume, a case like this to be an impediment to that process going forward. I think that does provide some leverage, which I think the administration is trying to use without being too overt about it.
Jerry Seib is the executive Washington editor for The Wall Street Journal. He was detained for 4 days while reporting in Iran in 1987, and he was kind enough to join us from our studios in Washington, D.C. Omid Memarian is an Iranian journalist who was imprisoned for 56 days for his reporting in Iran. He currently attends the Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley. I thank you both so much for speaking with us, and we'll have links to both of the articles that you wrote about the case of Roxana Saberi in recent days. We'll have that on our website. I thank you both so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.